This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Fine dining. The search for the most mediocre restaurant in America is a podcast where Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all the chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5 out of 10 dining experience. The objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good. His most recent episode featured guests Marissa Pinson and John Glover as they review Costco's food court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many hot dogs they could fit in their mouths. Head on over to linktree.com/fine dining podcast and click Bees giveaway to enter for an all-expense-paid trip to your local Applebee's. The current frontrunner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at a 5.02 out of 10 for you and up to three of your friends. And you can watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st and the winner will be announced on the May 8th Chipotle episode. Asterisk $50 will be provided for transportation along with a $200 Applebee's gift card.
Welcome to a Funny Feeling Podcast. I'm Betsy Sodaro.
And I'm Marcy Jarro. This is a podcast where comedians tell us their paranormal experiences, and we listen to yours as well.
Oh, yeah. And if you have one of these paranormal experiences that you want to share with us, please email it to us at funnyfeelingpod@gmail.com.
Now get cozy.
And prepare yourself to be scared silly.
This is a Funny Feeling Podcast.
Ah, whoa! Blast off!
Ew, ew, ew. Pew, pew, pew.
Pew, pew.
What up, dog?
Ooh, Marcy. Not too much. It's a gray, chilly day here in LA.
Gloomy town over here.
Gloomy town, USA. Kind of nice, though. I kind of, you know, just kind of snuggly and you read and just hang out.
It's funny, earlier someone, like, at like 1 p.m. sent me a text and said, good afternoon. And I was like, it's morning. Oh, it's not morning.
Yeah, man.
Afternoon.
It is a good afternoon. It's an afternoon now.
It's just so gloomer and colder.
Yeah.
Has anything spooky happened to you?
Oh.
Oh, I'm excited. Did something happen?
I feel something.
Something.
I would have immediately told you if something happened. I was trying to think. No, I don't think so. I've been sleeping terribly. That's very scary.
That's spooky.
And waking up a lot of times around like 3 and I'm like, oh no, is this a spooky thing or just
the
my
witching
brain and my anxiety? Yeah. Anything spooky? No, I don't think so. How about you?
No, I mean, other than like animals' blood on the porch and stuff, but that's
good
just
God,
like,
animal just, blood.
I really got to stop feeding these critters.
You got to, Marcy.
Well, now I'm like, well, who will if I don't? And I guess
they'll
the world.
Be fine. They'll be fine. They will be okay. They've been doing it for thousands of years before.
I'm so close to getting into a fist fight with a raccoon.
Oh my God. I would love to see that on your like security cam footage. Like you just fucking fist fighting a raccoon.
I mean, I did one of these like, oh, things to a raccoon last night.
Whoa. Hey, what you doing?
Come at me, bro.
Oh my God. Yeah. Who, be honest, do you think you would win? Or would you get so scared that they would bite you and give you some
sort of disease?
Oh, I
would be so scared they would bite me. Yeah, they would win.
Yeah. Okay.
The one lucky thing is in California, our instances of rabies are low.
Right.
Not to say there's none.
Right.
But the instances of versus like New York, state. It's like if you see a raccoon, it probably has rabies.
Whoa, really?
It's just they have they have really high rabies out there. And Lyme. Oh. That's like two things.
Lyme is scary.
Yeah, that we don't have as bad here.
I remember learning about ticks and Lyme disease and just being so scared of that as a kid.
Yeah.
And then remember that Real World where Irene has it?
And then she got slapped and it had nothing to do with it?
Nothing to do with it.
Now, I've been rewatching old The Real World.
I have too, a little bit.
I watched season 1, 2, and I'm in the middle of season 3 with Pedro. Oh, I cried.
Fun. Yeah. And nasty Puck.
Puck's awful.
Puck is disgusting.
And watching it now, like at the time you're like, well, he's just like dirty and nasty and that's why they don't like him. But watching it now, you're like, no, he's racist and homophobic.
Right, right. Like he's a bad.
And then eventually goes to prison for like child endangerment and domestic abuse. Like he's bad.
He's bad all around. Good. And it starts with the peanut butter. He's a piece of shit. Also, anybody who does that is a piece of shit.
And I think just so thoughtless to be like, there's a bigger reason Pedro doesn't want. It's gross, but also he has AIDS.
Yeah.
He cannot get sick from you, dumb right. shit.
Right.
But then
he's nasty.
I sob about just knowing you're like, oh.
Yeah.
I think Pedro, spoiler, if you haven't watched, Pedro Zamora died on the day the last episode aired of his season.
Really?
So it was really close.
I remember watching it when it was like sneak watching it because my parents would have been like, no, you can't watch this.
We were little. We were young. Elementary school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember, oh God.
Well, that's the funny thing watching it back now is I know everything that I'm like, yep, I remember this exactly.
Wow.
I remember all of it.
That's fun.
Also, Pedro's like 22 or 23, and you're like, he's so fucking smart and like
and mature
like,
and using that platform,
yeah,
in such a great way before that was even a thing, you know. Seeing this as a really incredible opportunity to talk about AIDS and being a gay man and stuff that a lot of people were not didn't know about,
yeah,
or had false thoughts about.
I mean, Rachel, the young Republican roommate, is like, I think it's his job to make me feel comfortable. I've never lived with anyone who has AIDS before. He needs to explain it to me. And it's so like, girl, shit. But you're like, also, there's no Google back then.
Right.
So that is a little part of it. It is a mysterious illness that hasn't had enough research.
Right. Because there was so much of we don't know so much about.
Yeah. She should have been like nice and just been like, I have questions, instead of being like, I don't want to be around him.
Yeah.
She comes back eventually, though. But
yeah. Ooh, that's fun. It's wild watching some old seasons.
Oh, especially like in hindsight to like watch it with our how we view things now.
Mm.
Like even the season 2, I don't want to keep going on about, but season 2 when David and Tammy get into a fight because he tries to pull her covers off when she's in her underwear.
Right.
And it you can see how everyone is blowing it out of proportion and they're like, oh, it's being blown out of proportion. And you're like, no.
No, this
in today's time, that's very bad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We started watching the reunion of the first season.
Yes.
And it is so interesting how in that first season, they did have a lot of big talks that are still happening today.
Kevin
and literally still happening in that reunion with, I think, another Becky.
It's so nuts. It's so nuts. Guys, you have to watch it because They show clips from 1992 when Kevin is having these conversations to begin with. And at the time, people were like, he is yelling too much. And then now, fast forward to 2021 to watch this reunion, you're like, he was speaking, he was articulating things now that people are just figuring out if you're not Black.
Right. Right. Like, oh, it's
he was literally saying it as clear as day.
Yep.
And now it's all conversation we've had. So we're like, oh, yeah. But like back then, people were like, stop making it about race.
Right. Right. Where it's like, oh, my God. No, it is like it is about race.
It's about race. It's interesting, though. It's like, especially coming from like 2021 to watch it.
Yeah.
It's so relevant.
Yes. Yes. I was watching an old season with Karamo. Which I didn't realize. I feel I remember when Queer Eye came out. I think Mono was like, yeah, he like did some stuff with MTV. And then I can't remember what season it is of Real World, but I watched him and it's in a lot of the same stuff, you know, still. Oh, yeah. It's wild. It's fascinating.
Yeah. It's interesting to look back at these young people figuring it out.
Yeah. And these young people exactly saying stuff that has been said forever and is being said now. And people are starting to be like, oh, okay.
This ain't a Real World recap, but Becky's so wild.
Becky is nuts, dude.
Like that was filmed in January of 2021. She is talking that way months ago. It's not like it's like she did it, you know, before there was a national conversation every fucking day. Like she's having that conversation that I took an African dance class. I can't be racist. She said that a couple months ago.
Marcy, I saw it and that blew my mind.
It's like,
I was like, oh, God.
How did that come out of your mouth?
Okay. Woof.
Anyway, guys. Woof.
Anyways, watch The Real World.
Well, get your Paramount Plus worth, your money's worth out of it.
Yeah. I got it for The Stand because I wanted to see The Stand.
Yeah, you wanted to see it.
You know, I wanted to watch The Stand.
Come on, because I wanted to see.
Because I needed to see The Stand.
How do you explain television?
It had episodes, certain episodes, like 8 or 9, and I wanted to watch all of them to see if it was like the book, The Stand.
The book?
Yeah.
And is it? So that's how you got turned on, too.
That's how I got my Paramount Plus, baby.
Television.
Reality television, Terry Tun. I've been watching a lot of Survivor, old seasons, and it's fun too. It's batshit crazy. Like early on, they didn't even give them rice or anything. Like it was straight up like figure out how to live.
I mean, it's called Survivor.
I know.
You know, have you ever heard of, what's it called, Kid Nation?
I remember watching an episode or a couple. It was before I was into reality TV, but I was like, I need to see this. Like, kids running Lord of the Flies shit. I think they killed a kid named Piggy.
you're confusing the it's wild though. It's wild what we've allowed to happen on television. People put a camera out and then people are like, I'm gonna act wild for a couple months.
yeah. It's fascinating. It's fun. Okay. Fun.
I have a shorty that I was gonna read.
Yeah.
Real quickie.
Do it.
Okay. Hi, Marcy and Betsy.
Hello.
I love the podcast, and last week something creepy happened.
Yes.
This was in August, so.
Oh, shit. A summer creepy.
Summer creepy.
And the living's creepy.
Creepy. It's so creepy.
Creepy.
And the creepin' is creepy. Okay. My mom was driving me home from the doctor's office, and as we were slowing down to stop at the red light, I noticed a guy not near any crosswalk or intersection started crossing the street. Right about when we stopped, about five cars back and still not near an intersection or crosswalk, the man crossing the street was right outside my mom's door and then disappeared.
What?
We looked everywhere, and we never could find him. We even kept checking the mirrors as traffic started moving again and never saw him again. What's even creepier is that my mom said she just saw him as a black shadow, whereas I saw him as a real person wearing a black tank top and red shorts. The road is pretty busy, so I would be more surprised if no one ever got hit by a car there than if someone did get hit by a car. Wait, the road is pretty busy. I don't understand that. The road is pretty busy, so I would be more surprised if no one ever got hit by a car there than if someone did get hit by a car. I get it.
Yes, I get it. Yes.
It really freaked us out, Gina.
Whoa, that is strange, dude.
Especially mom and daughter seeing it as different things.
Right. Whoa.
That's really creepy.
Ooh, that's eerie, man. I wonder. Oh, that is so strange. Absolutely. That reminds me of one time in college. I might have said this on there, but it still blows my mind to this day. Leaving the food room. What's it called? The dining hall. Shit,
I was like,
man.
I don't know what a
no, you know, a food room.
Bathroom?
The dining hall. One time leaving the dining hall, I went and grabbed one of those green and white mints.
Uh-huh.
I unwrapped it. I threw it in the air because I was trying to make my friends laugh and trying to catch it in my mouth. It fell somewhere, never to the ground or anything, and I couldn't find it for the life of me.
Huh.
And me and all my friends were like, where did it go? Okay. And I even showered and didn't find it anywhere.
Betsy, check your bra right now.
Oh, no. Okay. Oh, it's right here.
Squeaky doors.
I got it. I got to oil up my bra. So maybe this man is that mint, dude.
I mean, sometimes things just fucking disappear out of thin air. And we say it didn't just disappear out of thin air, but it does.
Yeah, but it does.
But it does.
There's a new movie out on, I think, maybe Amazon or something, about a girl in high school whose friends just start blowing, like, combusting. I can't wait to watch it.
What's it called?
I can't remember. Maybe Combustion or something.
Combustion sounds like. It sounds like the the name it should be.
Right? Spontaneous.
Spontaneous. That's spontaneous. How you name stuff, guys. You think of
that's
like
how you do it.
The thing it is, and you take half of the words away.
There you go. Ooh, that is spooky.
It's like that movie Cruel Intentions, because the idea is these kids have cruel intentions.
And we'll take them far. Yeah. But yeah, they're like, let's just keep the two fun words from there. Not these kids.
No, yeah, we don't have a verb. No subject.
Nope.
Our intention's a subject. Nope, these kids have cruel intentions. I got it.
Right.
I'm getting smarter by the day.
We're getting smarter.
No, you don't have to be great at grammar to be a writer. It's a thing.
Oh, God, no.
I mean,
Thank God, no. Someone
has to be good at it in the room, but.
Right. But now,
we do not. I have a shorty for you. I sent it. It's called Ghost Cat.
Ghost Cat.
Yeah, that's a shorty for you.
Let me find it.
Oh, shit.
Ghost Cat, I got it. Okay, are you ready?
Always.
Always ready for Ghost Cat. Here we go. I love you guys. Thank you.
I
wanted to tell you about the ghost cat that lives in my house. Now, I currently have four adult cats, 3 foster kittens and 1 small dog. So seeing things moving in the dark is an everyday occurrence. Yeah, man. The other night I got up to pee without my glasses on. I saw a cat sitting at the little water fountain in the hall and reached down to pet it. There was no cat there. My mom texted me from her room downstairs that night to say that the ghost cat was walking on her bed. Her door is closed, so no living animals are allowed in. Just now, I got up to go pee again just in time to see a tail move out of the door and down the stairs. I turned on the light expecting to see the dog or cat, and nothing was on the stairs. I didn't hear anything walking either. My mom's cat had to be put down about 1.5 years ago because she had severe mouth cancer. Oh, both my mom and I think it might be her just walking in the hall and trying to drink water. Thanks, guys. Ashley.
Oh.
Whoa.
Also, even if it's not your mom's cat, I bet word is out in the neighborhood like it is in mine.
Yeah.
You're somebody who's taking care of
alive cats. Or... beyond.
Yeah. Dead or alive. I'm the sucker taking care of all of y'all.
You got a lot of ghost possums and ghost raccoons and stuff too. And
I mean, there is a possum that I'm shocked is alive, but it's always
I feel that way almost for every possum.
They look like true zombies.
Yeah, and I feel they're always just laying on the road. Dead or alive.
Yeah, they well. Possums, when they get scared, they go into a comatose state.
Whoa! Yeah. That explains a lot.
Yeah. That's why they call it playing possum.
What?
You've never heard the term playing possum?
Uh-uh.
It's when someone's pretending to be dead or asleep.
Well, I've done it a bunch.
Choo!
Honk shoo!
Choo!
Honk shoo! Wow, ghost cat. Yeah, I think could be mom's cat or yeah, the neighborhood, like they know this is the place to go hang out.
Yeah, it could also just be like the repetition of what that animal did in the house too.
Right.
Yeah.
It could also be the animals doing Ouija and bringing back a cat. And now they're like, oh, shit, we brought another cat back.
If you have tiny cat Ouija boards and instead of the alphabet, it has different meow sounds.
Get it out of your house immediately.
Yeah, you can't burn them, apparently. You're not supposed to do that.
Right. Right.
Honestly, good luck. Good luck if you got one.
Yeah, if you have a little cat Ouija board, good luck. You're done.
Yeah, because one, that means your cat's into the dark arts. So that's, yeah. You're already fucked.
You're already done, dude.
A cat who wants to get shit fucked up, you're done.
You're fucking done. Get out. Just move out of the house. Leave the cat. Get out of the house.
The best thing about these three little nasty cats I have is that they kind of don't seem to want to do anything big other than
that's
like,
great.
They're just like, food and some petting, and for Honey, just like survive. She just wants to survive. You can tell.
Great. That's even better. Good.
All right. Shall I play one to listen?
Yes, please.
My name is Emily. I work as a props master for a theater in New Hampshire. The theater is actually an old barn, but it's been renovated heavily. Originally, it was just a barn, though, with about 8 posts, and they would hang curtains between 2 of the posts and have a stage there. The theater has been running for about almost 90 years, but I don't know how long the barn existed before that the theater is now inside of. I often feel on the stage that I'm not alone, but I've felt that way in almost every theater I've worked at, that I've never felt truly alone, even in the middle of the night when I'm working on stuff on stage by myself and it's like 2 in the morning. I think part of that is that there's like the residual energy of people watching plays, that it's almost like that energy is still in the room, so you just feel like you're being watched. But maybe it's ghosts. One of the things that the theater I work at is known for is an actor who started his acting career there and went on to win a lot of awards and be in a lot of movies. And his name is James Whitmore. Most people under the age of 40 know him as the old guy from The Shawshank Redemption. That's definitely what I know him for, as someone in their mid-20s. But later on in life, a couple years leading up to the year he died in 2009, he would come up every summer and do a play at this theater, and he loved it there. His son claims that he was conceived in the costume shop behind the theater. Like, the theater was part of his life. And after he passed, some of his ashes were put in the theater on top of one of the barn beams. You can see it from the stage, but not from many other places in the theater. Some people say that if you smell cigar smoke during a performance, it means that James is enjoying the performance because he smoked cigars a lot. That is a beautiful thought, to think that he's still watching shows. Until someone asked me, what happens if he doesn't like the show? Which, like, creeped me out in a lot of ways. Like, what if a ghost doesn't like the show you're doing? And then I thought about it, and I realized something bad happened one time. And maybe it's because James Whitmore did not like the show. And that's what this story is about. One summer, I was working and I was preparing for a tech that started the next morning. So we had a show that opened at night, and the next morning we started tech for our kids' show. I was working on props because I was behind, because I had to make like a horse puppet and some other things. So I was working, and I am very close friends with Bethany, who runs the costume shop, and she was behind on costumes because she also had to design costumes for this kid's show. So I offered to come and help her. So that night after the show opened at 7:30, I was like, I'm going to come. I'll help you sew. We'll just sew together and get things done so that you feel better about tech tomorrow morning. So Bethany and I had loosely planned to like meet up and work on costumes that night, sometime after 7:30. Meanwhile, the entire day I like hadn't been eating because I just felt like I had a lot of things to do and I was just like, gotta get things done. And after, it's like 8 o'clock at night and I'm buried under props in my office and I don't even text Bethany to say, hey, I need to go get food. I just like wasn't thinking. I was like, I just need to get food. Like, Bethany will understand. I'll come and help her with costumes after. So I go out and get food, and as I'm out in the town, it starts pouring. And we'd had a lot of like terrible rain that summer that caused us to lose power a lot. So I was like, oh God, we're going to lose power again. I hope it doesn't happen during the show. I get back and it's raining so hard that I just decide to go to my room instead of going to help Bethany on costumes, because I was just like, I don't feel like walking back there, which sounds terrible. But I was like, it'll be all right. She'll understand. I'll go over when the rain is not as intense. Shortly after this, I get like a message from Bethany being like, oh, don't worry. I decided to go get food with my family who's visiting. We're going to come back after and they're going to help me sew. So you don't worry about coming to help me. It's okay. Shortly after this, it starts like there's thunder and lightning and it's terrible and it's loud and it sounds so close. The thunder does, and the lightning is like really bright, and I start getting so many messages from so many different people that I work with, and it's like lightning just struck the theater. So what had happened was the costume shack where I was supposed to be working with Bethany was struck by lightning, and a hole
formed in the side of it from the strike of the lightning. So what happened is it hit a tree, and the roots of the tree were under the building, and it caused all the electrical systems in the shack to like blow, which caused a hole in the side. Right where the hole formed is exactly where we would have been working, because Bethany's phone was on its last legs of life, where you need to like plug it in to charge all the time, and that was the outlet that exploded. Somehow we both decided to get food way later than a normal person eats dinner and avoided what could have been our deaths in this building. And I don't want to say that James Whitmore's ghost caused this, because maybe it didn't. Maybe it's just a freak of nature. But then I remember that it was a play that I particularly did not like. So maybe, just maybe, he didn't like it either. And maybe, just maybe, that's what happens when a ghost doesn't like your play. That's my story.
Whoa.
Dude.
Whoa.
That gave me some little chilies.
Big time chilies.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I want to know what that play was.
What play sucked? I bet we could figure it out, because
I bet we could.
You know, there's, so we have pictures of the place. So do you see the little cottage with the tarp over the hole?
Oh, yeah.
And it looks like a cool theater, though. Like,
what a wild way for lightning to hit it. It looks like such a rad theater, like in the woods.
Oh, yeah.
So cute.
Yeah.
Haunted for sure.
Well, that's what they were saying, that the lightning hit a root, and so it blew up the electrical.
Oh, yeah. That's it. Yes, yes, yes.
Which is probably why it's over there on the side and not
Wow.
The root. I think James made you guys, you know, stay away.
Oh, that's, yeah.
I don't think
warned
you. Yeah, I don't think James made lightning strike. I think he was like, oh, I'm going to get these people out of here.
I'm going to get them out of here by making them want food real bad.
You know, because no one is more dedicated than theater folk, so.
It's true. It's true.
So, it takes a pretty strong pull to stop you from sewing some hymns.
Wow. I'm trying to guess what play this is.
I wonder if I could, let me.
It's James Whitmore is in it.
I think that's just a picture of
James Whitmore at the.
I think it's just a picture because he couldn't be dead and in the play. Right?
No, I know this is him in the play.
Oh yes, but not the one that caused.
No,
the
not the not the cause, not the shitty one.
Okay, okay. They were. I can tell you what they were. So this is an article, and they were. It was George Bernard Shaw's The Manifest.
This is when the lightning strikes?
Yeah, The Man of Destiny at the Peterborough.
Never read it.
What is The Man of Destiny about? I probably don't care, but I am curious.
Yes.
What is The Man of Destiny about? Let's see. Okay.
I want to go to this theater so bad. It looks so fun.
The Man of Destiny, a peasant, which also include blah, blah, blah. I don't care.
Why already it sounds bad.
Blah, blah, blah. All right. I looked it up. Blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah. Bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. Who gives a shit? Okay. Moving on.
Moving on.
Moving on. Who gives a fucking shit?
Who about gives
George
a Brendan
shit? Studdard.
George Bernard. Is that Barnard? Bernard.
Bernard?
George Bernard. Wait, are you correcting me?
George Bernard Shaw.
Wait, have you been correcting me this whole time?
No, I don't think so.
I thought you were correcting me. That's why I was saying it all kinds of different ways.
Oh, I thought it was just a fun bit we were doing. I'm just saying it funny.
No, I'm not fun. You know that.
My mistake. My mistake.
George Bernard Shaw.
Bernard Shaw.
I want to do a play in this bar.
I want to so bad.
Oh, I haven't been in a play in so long, Betsy.
It's me too. It's been so long. So long.
Oh.
I think it would be so fun, and this looks great.
I want to go to do a summer's residence there or something.
It would be so much fun.
We live there and get... At week three, we start getting mad at each other.
Yes, yes. And we just party so hard after every show.
People are like, the doctor's here to see you again because you're fucking sick.
You guys are so sick.
You guys really
all the time
partied yourself ill.
Yeah. I can't do it like I used to do it, but I'll keep trying. Wow, it looks so fun.
I think you got saved. I'd like to think.
I like that. Yeah. I like that too.
Put a little whisper in your ear to be like, why don't you go get some dinner?
Or what if it was a little bit of both of like, hey, this place sucks.
Yes.
I don't want to hurt you.
Yes.
But I got to strike lightning somewhere. So go get some dinner and I'm going to hit that route.
The only thing I can think about is burning all of the costumes. That's the only
solution. Maybe this will stop this crap show from happening, huh?
Bullshit play.
Burn up all these fucking costumes.
Oh, boy. Well, I can't wait to do a play.
Maybe
there.
Somebody said Macbeth in the theater.
Oh, why did I just get nervous when you said it now?
I mean, that's the thing, but we're not in theater now, so it's fine.
I mean, we're over video chat.
I guess we're in, we're in the theater of the future.
We're in the theater of the mind.
That has been around 13 times and spit or whatever it is.
Say a bunch of curse words.
Say a bunch of swear words and you're fine.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
I like that story. Well, that was nice.
I like it, too. I think we should go do some, summer regional theater.
We're
going to
do, what plays will we do? We'll do,
Arsenic and Old Lace. I think we would have a lot of fun doing that.
We would fucking kill it, dude.
We would destroy it. I would love to see, because I'm just thinking of myself in this. Like, I would love to see opening night, and then just because I know I would probably get bored doing the same thing over and over again.
We could do it True West style where we trade parts.
Oh my God, we have to do that.
Yes.
Okay, we'll do that. Keep it fresh and fun.
Yeah,
we should also do one show where we're like, okay, we're going to do Arsenic and Old Lace, but like, give us a suggestion.
Someone's like, apples. You're like, well, that's what fucking arsenic comes from.
Come on. Okay. Get a little more creative, you idiots.
We just scream at the audience for so long.
Yeah.
Arsenic and Old Lace has three ladies or no?
I think so. Something like that.
Okay. We'll find a third.
Nicole.
Nicole, yes!
What a dream.
We're on the same
what
wave.
What a dream.
Honestly, we should just put that up anyway.
We should.
Charity event that we like to Arsenic and Old Lace.
We totally should.
Oh, if you don't know Arsenic and Old Lace, every community theater has done it.
It's fun.
Yes. Arsenic and Old Lace, God. I'm so blown away that you said everything I was thinking.
That's nuts, man. I think that's a sign. I think we gotta do it then. Yeah. We gotta put it up.
We have to.
We must.
Arsenic and Old Lace.
Yes.
All right, I'm gonna read a story.
Yes, please.
This one is entitled The Housekeeper and the Ghost.
Ooh.
Hi, Betsy and Marcy. I absolutely love the podcast and listening to you two, especially through this pandemic. Thank you.
Thank you. That's so nice.
I love being spooked and laughing at the same time. So thank you.
Yes.
I have many shit your pants scary stories, but I wanted to share my most bizarre story first. That's how you do it, dog. The year I graduated from high school so long ago, I took a summer job at a lake resort conference center place as a housekeeper.
Nice.
I worked in the large resort building, housekeeping hotel style rooms, as well as top floor, quote unquote, penthouse.
Ooh.
The conference center and the grounds have a really colorful history, from Winnebago Indians being the first people to walk the grounds and reside on the lake. Then came pioneer settlers in the 1800s. Where the original log cabin built by some pioneer family still stands on the property.
Spooky.
Old.
Old as shit. Spooky.
Stinky. Mold.
Stinky old ass cabin. Nasty.
Then some big Chicago newspaper guy bought the property and some company invested money to create luxury gated resort that was a way for rich people to spend their money at bars, casinos, and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
Then the Great Depression hit and this luxury resort goes belly up. Next, wow. A totally random event. Some of the cottages served as temporary camp for German prisoners during World War II. I know, random, right?
Whoa.
However, now the grounds serve as a conference center for, if I'm remembering it correctly, a Baptist organization. That's a lot going on there.
That's man. A lot happening.
So much. So when I started, I was told all about the strange things and weird experiences people who work there have. The most common was the fact that there was this one specific room on a certain floor. I can't remember what floor, but let's say the fourth floor. No one ever got into this room. Our quote unquote master keys never worked for this room. So often when people knocked on the door, they would hear a woman responding, "Just a minute," or "I'm in here." Others
ew.
Yeah. I'm naked.
I gotta get my clothes on. Wait.
I'm taking a shit. Others Others mentioned they would hear music playing from the room. We also have a master sheet of what rooms are occupied, and when people reported these events, the sheet reflected no one was booked in that room.
Uh-uh.
So it freaked a lot of people out, and we would all have to debate who was going to go in the room and clean it.
Yeah, oh my God.
But for my experience, I was cleaning the penthouse with another coworker, and I was in one of the side bedrooms with two twin beds. I was changing the bedding. I took the top blankets off the bed and placed them on top of a chair in the room. Then removed the sheets and pillowcases. Then replaced the pillows on top of the blankets on the chair. I gathered up the sheets and took them to the cart and grabbed fresh bedding. When I came back into the room, the blankets for each bed were perfectly folded with the pillows stacked on top of them at the end Ooh. Of the bed, and the radio was playing.
Oh.
I froze in the doorway. There's no way my coworker could have pranked me because I would have seen them walk past me. And I was out of the room for like 3 minutes. I remember I didn't feel afraid. I acknowledged the spirit was there, joked that it was a good prank, thanked the spirit if they were trying to help, and then said I didn't want them to mess with me anymore. Hope you enjoyed this little story. Take care, Jenny.
Wow. Wow.
What a nice friendly ghost to help you.
Yeah, that's a good, nice prank, dude.
Yeah. Someone prank me by cleaning up around here.
Yeah. Hey, ghost, you could prank my house if you want.
Prank it and make sure, could you get the fan blades?
Oh, yeah, gotta get those. I always forget those. Thank you.
What a weird history it had, too.
Wild. Yeah. Truly.
You know, that reminds me, my mom once thought that someone, She was making up her bed, and she was like starting at the top left corner and going over to the other corner. And when she got there, it was already put, the fitted sheet was already put on.
What?
And she was, because she was like, I make the bed the same way every time, so.
Yeah. And like fitted sheets, man.
Hard.
You gotta run to get them go. Like, that's tough. You can't just throw it and have it work. No way.
No.
What?
Yeah. And these blankets folded?
Yes. See, this, okay, Ghost, if you're out there listening to this, stay away from bathrooms, okay? But hey, help out. If you're gonna hunt, fucking cook me a pizza while you do it.
Yeah.
You know? Clean up my house.
Clean up my dang house.
Wipe my fucking asshole.
Oh, boy. You gotta help us. Please.
Please help me do that. That would be such a funny prank.
It'll help me, too, if you help her.
Yes. Yeah. Please help. Wash my car. Take the trash out.
What else? What else?
What else? What else do I not like doing? Do the dishes.
Tell me I'm smart.
Yeah, fucking whisper I'm smart. Don't whisper.
No.
Just nice and safely be like, Betsy, you're smart. Thank you.
Write it somewhere.
But not on bathroom mirror.
And not in blood.
In the fog. And not in blood. Not on my walls. Okay.
Get me some nice stationery and write it there.
There we go. Station scary. Ooh, okay, yes. Yeah. So for all those ghosts listening out there, that's how you do it.
Oh, boy.
Did you know that nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they have forgotten about? Before I started using Rocket Money, I thought I had about, I don't know, like 5 different subscriptions. I could not believe when they showed me how many I was paying for each month. And they tell me when something's coming up too. What a shocker. Between streaming services, fitness apps, and delivery services, it's never ending. And thanks to Rocket Money, I'm no longer wasting money on the ones I've forgotten about. And, you know, I've been trying to save money. And it seems like my bank account, it was stuck. So I gave Rocket Money a try, and it turns out that I was paying for a bunch of stuff that I didn't need. And Rocket Money helped me cancel some of those. And now I'm finally starting to see my account balance going up again. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. With Rocket Money, I have full control over my subscriptions and a clear view of expenses. I can see all my subscriptions in one place, and if I see something I don't want, Rocket Money can help me cancel it with a few taps. I love how the dashboard shows me this month's spending compared to last month, so I can clearly see my spending habits. Plus, they help me create a custom budget and keep my spending on track. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/funnyfeeling. That's rocketmoney.com/funnyfeeling. rocketmoney.com/funnyfeeling. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you, and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been in therapy for years now. I go every single week. I don't even ever want to miss a week because it's so important for keeping me on track, especially during times where things are kind of tough, you know? It's really good to have a therapist you trust as a sounding board. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/afunnyfeeling today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/afunnyfeeling.
I got one. You want me to read it?
I always want you to read it.
This is Quarantine Ghost.
Quarantine?
Okay. Hi, Marcy and Betsy. I love the podcast and listen to it every week. Nice.
Thank you.
Sorry, this is kind of long. Okay, here we go. I've been somewhat of an empath and am able to feel when a spirit or ghost or whatever is around. I can walk into a building or room and I immediately feel heavy, like a force is trying to push me into the earth and or dizzy and lightheaded. Sometimes my vision gets weird as if I'm crossing my eyes, indicating that the place is haunted or just has some weird energy. This has been happening for as long as I can remember, even when I was little growing up in a house that was definitely haunted. Now I'm an adult, kind of, and I live with my friend who owns the condo we cohabitate. That's an adult word. You're an adult.
Yeah,
if you say
grown.
Cohabitate, that's like, wow, you're an adult and you got your shit together.
Nobody more grown up than you.
Right, right. We've been living here for over 2 years. I moved in before my roommate, and when I did, she asked me to get rid of any ghost I might have felt in the place. Nice. When I moved in, huh?
I'm not doing your chores for you.
Yeah. It's already starting off on the wrong foot.
Tell me to get rid of your ghost. You get rid of your own ghost.
Yeah, thank you. You're
welcome.
When I moved in, I did feel something. Lightheaded and lethargic, but wasn't quite sure it was a ghost, as it might have been some leftover energy from the previous family. My roommate did just do some renovations on the place right before we moved in, and as we all know, spirits hate that. Shrug. The energy felt very young. Ugh. Like a little boy who just wanted to play. And it was specifically when I was coming up the stairs at the top of the steps. I smudged the condo and forgot about the feeling. Since then, I get the feeling every once in a while that I am not alone. But I'm not scared as much as surprised and uneasy. You know, because feeling like you're not alone when you definitely are is not cool. Our downstairs TV will turn on by itself in the middle of the night.
Uh-oh.
Sometimes to something we weren't even watching and very loud. Sometimes to nothing. Oh, weird. My roommate's cat will also be sitting somewhere and her eyes will get big as she stares off into the corner at nothing, her head following the path of whatever she's watching, something that I cannot see.
I will say, for people who don't have cats, when their eyes are round, it's bad. It's bad news.
Really?
Well, that's when they're like into attack mode.
Whoa.
I always used to say about Bo, round eye bad guy.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, round eye bad guy.
Uh-oh. Wilma has started, like, I've talked about, started dazing off a little bit. But, like, one day Gilly had a very funny stuffed succulent that came in a, in a bark box. That's very funny. Uh-oh, I'm going to sneeze. Hold on. Maybe I'm not going to. Okay, I'm not going to. All just right. Kidding. And when Gilly would like fake her out, she had a couple of times this moment where her like tongue would stick out and then she would just stare off for a second and then snap back. It is so funny. It's very funny. Sorry. Anyways, animals, man, they're fun.
They're cute.
On this particular night, about a week ago, where is this from? August 2020. Okay. On this particular night, about a week ago, I was by myself in my room. My roommate was staying at her BF's. Don't worry, he's part of our trusted household. Watching Drag Race when I heard a sound. Nice, dude. Drag Race is so fun. I had my door ajar so the cat can go in and out as she pleases, otherwise she'll meow incessantly, as I always do when my roommate isn't home, and I can see into the hallway and the top of the stairs. The sound I heard was one of a very loud, hard fart. I didn't see that coming.
Neither did I.
You know that fart sound when you're trying to push it out and it's hard and maybe hurts a little? Yeah, that one. Whoa, dude. Oh, this just blew my mind.
Because that ghost has been making too much sourdough bread.
Too much. That's a, I feel what ghosts eat is a lot of sourdough bread.
Well, they're
bread.
Just doing all the quarantine recipes, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I had a new starter. We'll see how it turns out. It was so loud and distinct. Not distinct.
Does stink.
Does stink. I thought my roommate was still home, even though we had said goodbye hours ago. Or maybe she had come back, which I know she didn't because my dog would have gone wild at someone coming through the front door. I tried to make sense of the sound, thinking of other things that could have made that noise. The only thing I came up with was a zipper. But no one else was home to be loudly zipping things in the hallway. And both pets were snoozing in my room.
Wait, that's making me laugh so hard. Like when people fart and they're like, it was my shoe, and they try to recreate the shoe sound, you know?
I swear it was my shoe. Listen.
I can't do it now, but it was.
Oh my God. Also, not my dog farting, because the sound definitely came from the hallway, since it sounded a little echoey, and I'm pretty sure. And I'm pretty sure if that sound came out of his small body, poop would have been everywhere. I mean, that's always a wild feeling when you fart and you're like, did I just shit my pants? And sometimes, yes. Okay, poop would have been everywhere. Was it on the show, maybe? Was it on Drag Race? There's some funny fart moments on Drag Race. Okay. When I woke up the next morning, I checked the house for anything that was astray, but everything was in place. Well, that's it. Now the spirit in our house has progressed from fussing with the TV to passing loud, noxious gas, thankfully scentless. Thanks for reading my story, and I'll send in other ones from past times soon. I hope y'all are staying sane and safe. Love, Gabby, and fart ghost and pets. Wow, Gabby.
I do have to say, though, if it's noxious, it kind of makes me think that you can smell it.
What?
Noxious gas? Noxious?
Noxious, yeah.
Yeah, it's like poisonous.
Oh, a loud noxious. Yeah, 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 right? Uh-oh.
Oh, God, that was wow. So funny to me.
That is...
I'm so embarrassed at how funny farting is.
Dude, me too. So farting and poop is so funny.
Oh my God.
Do you think it was a spirit being like, okay, I'm not okay. What if they sucked up a bunch of energy from like a battery or whatever? They're like, I'm gonna say something. I'm so gonna say something, and then they just rip ass.
I've been like waiting for years to say, this is the day I'm gonna do it today.
I finally have figured out how to use that energy. Yeah, and then it's just like.
Or so you know how like in like movies that. When someone dies tragically, they kind of recreate the death over and over again because it was so traumatic. What if this fart was so traumatic to that ghost when they were alive that it was like they had their crush was over and she was like, oh, this is it. I really like him. Or it was like a condo. She was visiting a condo, was like, where's your bathroom? Before she got to the bathroom, was like
and pooped her. What if it's like the birthday boy sketch where she farted and her skeleton shot out of her butthole?
And that's how she
died? And now she has to relive it.
Well, yeah. That's how she died, because her skeleton popped out.
Yeah, her skeleton shot out of her butthole.
But you can't...
So now she's just blind mannering it and being on repeat like, mm-hmm. Oh no.
Or what if all ghosts can fart and that was like, it just, we don't always catch them, you know?
True. True. Because, I mean, Gabby would say that they're an empath.
Yeah.
So ghosts could be tooting him, and you got to have a sense for it.
Tootin',
you know?
Tooting and shooting. Boy, I really am.
Oh, my God. What if that ghost died from farting out their skeleton?
Oh, tragic. Tragic.
Oh, tragic. That's the way I want to go.
No, Betsy, I'm positive that you'll die by shitting your pants.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. That means so much.
Should we catch our breath?
That really got me going.
Let's catch our breath and listen to a listener story.
Let's do it. Okay.
Hi, Betsy. Hi, Marcy. This is the fifth time I'm recording this. I keep going off on tangents that are really irrelevant, but I've been waiting to record this until I've completely finished all of the episodes that you have out currently. So that was today. I finished it on my drive home about 20 minutes ago. So here I am making my paranormal story for you guys. So I wanted to tell two. One is the first time that I was ever introduced to the idea of ghosts and ghost hunting being a real thing. My aunt, when I was younger, my uncle's girlfriend at the time, she was obsessed with the paranormal. She did a lot of witchcrafty things and stuff like that. And when I was younger, I spent a lot of time at their house, but I never even realized what she was doing was like witchcrafty stuff or paranormal stuff. I just honestly didn't pay it any mind. But she did, like, looking back, she did have a lot of habits that I would consider paranormal or like witchy and things like that. She did a lot of like incense and burning sage and things like that. She would very often go to the cemeteries surrounding where we lived, and she would do like ghost hunting with her girlfriends and things like that. And every once in a while, she would bring me and her daughter, my cousin, with her, and we would just like play hide and go seek in the graveyard while she did her thing, and then we would all come back home, and that was that. We never heard anything about it. But there was this one day where we went with her, and she was doing her voice recording thing where she would be like, "Hi, my name is," let's call her Annie. "Hi, my name is Annie. I am here to communicate with you. Please communicate with me if you can," blah, 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 whatever. And we just went off with our bags of fruit, our little like pouches of fruit snacks, and went to play on the gravestones. But she was, we were only there for about 15 minutes, and she ran over to us and she grabbed us and she told us we needed to go home. So we went home. I didn't think anything of it. I thought we just had to rush home for whatever. We were just hanging out, but she had one of her girlfriends come over because she said she was scared to listen back to the recording because she thought she had heard something. And then when she listened back to the recording, me and my cousin actually eavesdropped into the room because we wanted to know what she heard. And she heard clear as day the recording and a man's voice say, "Hi, Annie." And I felt my heart drop into my stomach. I was so scared. I actually went home that night, even though I was supposed to spend the night all weekend because it was a long weekend. But I actually called my mom and I went home because I felt so uneasy after figuring that out. And ever since then, I have been thirsty for the paranormal. I have been constantly looking for ghost stories and things like that. I love hearing and talking about them. So the other story I wanted to tell you actually happened in the exact same graveyard or cemetery. We used to frequent this cemetery because my great-grandma, my great-grandpa, and my dad's father, we were buried there. So my dad's father, we called him Mr. Bordage. We didn't call him by, like, we didn't call him grandpa. We called him Mr. Bordage, and that was always what we called him. I went to the cemetery with my grandmother and my cousin, who I talked about before, and then my other little cousin, whose name is Connor, was also with us, and he was probably about 4 years old when he was there so he could talk, but he really didn't know where we were and what we were doing. But so we were at the cemetery and my grandma was planting flowers for like her parents and any of her friends that were buried there that she knew. We would go around and we would help her like dig little holes and plant little flowers for everybody. Just sort of upkeep on the gravesite. And this specific day, she had brought some things to put in Mr. Burdash's grave, put on Mr. Burdash's grave, some flowers. She would always put like little mini American flags, things like that on his grave. So, but for some reason, we could not find his tombstone. We were running all around trying to find the tombstone. My cousins and I were trying to figure out where they were. My little cousin, every time he saw a bee, would be like, here it is. But so we were running around. I swear to God, in my little brain, it felt like we were running around for hours. But after a while, my grandmother was finishing up with like the last one before we needed to find Mr. Burdash's grave. And we hear my little cousin Connor, who's, like I said, 4 years old, stop and say, hey, Grandma, I found Mr. Burdash. And we thought, again, it was just going to be another gravestone that just happened to have a B on it, because obviously he couldn't read it this time. So every time he saw a B, he thought it was Mr. Burdash's grave. But instead, he was actually not facing a gravestone at all. He was standing in like the row of graves, like in the pathway in between. And he was just pointing straight down. And we were like, Connor, come here. And he was like, no, for real, Mr. Burdash right there in the red hat. And that freaked us all out because Mr. Burdash, when he was alive, was always wearing a red baseball cap. And so we ran over and right where he was pointing, like right where he said Mr. Burdash was Mr. Burdash's gravestone. And what's crazy is Connor never met Mr. Burdash. Mr. Burdash died before Connor was born, so it freaked all of us out. My grandmother immediately like put the stuff down on Mr. Burdash's grave and we left. We never spoke about it again. But even like talking to my grandmother now as an adult, it's crazy to hear her talk about it because she's just not that kind of person. Like I said, we've never talked about religion. We never talked about spirituality, but she is one of those, it's one of those things where my grandmother is like, it's completely unexplainable. And she will swear up and down that that Connor must've seen a ghost because there was no other explanation. But like hearing my grandmother, a person who's so level-headed and so like does not subscribe to any sort of spirituality at all, say straight out like we saw a ghost is crazy to me. And I think that these two experiences are like really just the bread and butter of why I'm obsessed with paranormal and why I love your podcast so much. So sorry for going on for so long. I really enjoy your podcast. Thank you so much. I might make another one of these about more current experiences that I've had, but I don't know yet. Thank you so much, Betsy, Marcy. Have a good one.
Whoa. Betsy's got a spider crawling on her head.
Yeah, almost. I might jump up and kill it. Hold on.
See, okay, take care of it.
Oh, it's outside.
All right, you saved that little spider.
I saved it.
Gotta say, why are we playing in a cemetery?
That is so funny. It's like, okay, come with me. I'm going to go do witchy stuff and you guys just, I don't know, play on some gravestones. There you go.
I feel like my mom would not let that person be in charge of me if they knew that they were doing witchy stuff in a cemetery with me. No, thanks.
I feel, yeah, my parents would probably be like, I'm sorry, what?
But how scary, though, to get home and then hear clear as day the voice.
That's so scary.
So scary.
So scary.
I love how that's what turned her on to.
Yeah, like such a scary thing to then be like, I need more of this in my life.
More.
And then the same cemetery.
Yeah.
Her dad's dad.
Mm-hmm.
How wild.
And for the little boy to...
Yeah. To be like, that's him.
Yeah, that's weird. Especially because I feel like I've always, like, imagined that there's not really a lot of ghosts in cemeteries, but maybe there are. when they're like, the family's visiting, let's go hang out.
Right. Right.
Right.
But maybe it's like their hub. Like that's where you know, that's their hangout. That's their central perk.
I was gonna say central perk.
Oh my god.
Did you hear me go?
We gotta do arsenic and old lace.
Oh my god. Everything is pointing to arsenic and old lace.
Everything is pointing to us doing a damn play together. Oh. We got him.
Oh my god. I'm gonna have to read the play tonight.
We gotta read it.
We gotta do it.
We gotta do it. Let us come to that theater and do it for a summer, please.
Please let us sleep in a cabin and do arsenic and old lace.
Yes. Oh my god.
Do our own old age makeup.
We have to do our own, just high school style. Like we gotta do our own old lady makeup. Uh-huh. Lots of baby powder in our hair.
Uh-huh. Oh boy! And like, you gotta give us our shoes early because I really don't know my character until I know what shoes they're wearing.
I gotta rehearse in my shoes.
Look, the first way that I figure out who I am is to figure out how I walk, and that's really gonna be impacted by the shoes.
Yeah, the first month we have to do theatery classes, like hardcore theatery classes.
To sit in solemn silence in a dull dark dock.
You know that one? I do. I don't remember it all. I remember having to say it at one point.
Awaiting the sensation of a short
sharp
shock.
Chop?
Shock. From a shock. Cheap and chippy chopper with a big black block. A big black block.
A big black block. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're going to get your head chopped off.
Yes. And lion face. Ah, lion face.
Ooh. Wow. Okay, I think we have our
summer
plan.
That's all my theater exercises, I know.
That's pretty good, Marcy.
And you lay on the ground and you melt your body into the floor.
Remember that? Like, just relax absolutely everything.
I think
everything.
Now, I've never really thought about it, but if I were to guess, why are we doing those types of exercises? Is it to get yourself used to humiliation?
You know, I really think it is. Like, I think they might say some other stuff, but I think it really is. I'm like, okay, you gotta feel weird.
Yes,
you have to be okay feeling this strange.
To remove
and
all
like,
pride.
Yeah, like you gotta get ready to be humiliated.
Yeah,
I remember one time I had to audition. I think it was for a commercial as like a caveman.
Oh.
And they were like, really have fun with it. Like, really go nuts. And a bunch of friends were, like, in the office. And we could just hear each other be cavemen.
Ugh.
And it sucked so bad.
I have such a distinct memory of walking out of an audition where I had to, like, pretend to blow up a house. And then I walked out and I saw John Gabris. And I said, this is humiliating.
Yeah.
And I feel like he was like, yep, got a book though.
yep, exactly.
I was just, especially like, that's the hardest part of being a young actor is thinking that you're going to get to do like real plays and like dig in and like, you know, like dissect your character and do like your history and all that, and then you're like auditioning for commercials.
yeah
and like getting parking tickets.
Yes. Yeah, you're like, oh man, $80.
Oh my god, my car got towed so many times.
Whoa, really?
Yeah, because I kept getting parking tickets and I was too poor to pay them, and then they would triple, and then before I knew it, I was like, I owe $800, and then you towed my car, and so that's going to be another
and that's another bunch of money. Oh, it sucks.
Just like crying. So much of my 20s and early 30s just was me crying about money.
Yeah, man.
It's fucked
up.
It's fucked up.
I remember like when I first moved to LA, just like calling my parents and being like, my phone is going to shut off because I like couldn't afford it. Ugh. But I'll good to talk to you. I'll try to email like stuff like that. And they're like, we'll give you the money you need. It's like, no, I can do this.
I got this.
I'll take it. I'll take it.
They're like, truly, like when it comes to $200, it's not a big deal for us. And you're
And we want to talk to you.
You're going to be miserable.
Yeah. We need to talk to you.
When I first moved to New York, I lived in a women's boarding facility.
Right.
And I didn't have a computer because it was the year 2005.
Right. Yeah.
And people just didn't. I think I had like an IBM laptop that I actually just didn't know how to use.
Yeah.
I truly was like, yeah, I have no idea how this works. And so I would go to the library to email.
Yep.
To even check my email.
I remember doing that.
Because I know I had a cell phone, but I didn't. It was before smartphones.
Right.
I remember specifically having a little flip phone because I think I've told the story that one day at work I was using the bathroom and I put the phone was in my pocket, and when I pulled my pants up, it shot out of my pocket and just went right down the, like I was, it was, the toilet was flushing as I was pulling my pants up. And so it just went, whoosh, just took it away. Yeah.
Oh shit.
Yeah. And my friend Chelsea pretended to be an alligator emailing me. But I would go to the library to check my email, and Matt Dillon was always there.
Matt Dillon.
I saw Matt Dillon at the library all the time.
Wow. Checking his email or hanging out? He was just like, all of it.
He was, I remember him distinctly like leaning, like sitting at like a table reading something and like being all leaned back, you know.
Yeah.
Looking like a movie star.
Matt Dillon. Yeah. Wow.
Anyway, guys, times were tough and they still are. So.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Just.
Wow.
The trauma of poverty. How did I get here?
Oh, we were screaming about how we gotta do a play.
I'm trying to talk people out of wanting to be an actor.
Just don't.
Don't do it. It's bad.
Those are good stories. Send more in, please. We want more of those stories.
We want more stories.
We need more of the stories.
Yeah. Well, is that it, Betsy?
I mean, what do you feel?
Well, I don't know. Is that all there is? Is that all there is?
Is that all there is?
Yeah, send in your stories and don't become an actor.
No, do what you want.
Do what you want, but
do whatever makes you happy. But yeah, no, it's
not
tough.
Actually fun.
it can be very tough, but do what makes you happy. Do what makes you happy.
Yes, that's true. I mean, I wouldn't change it for the world.
Right. Right.
I mean, then how would I be in this house with so many cats and raccoons? It all led here.
It all
comes back to where I am now. All right. I guess that's it. Bye.
Bye. It's a goodbye. Oh, yeah. Thank you so much for listening to A Funny Feeling.
If you have a paranormal experience that you would like to share, please send us a voice memo, or you can email us just a letter at funnyfeelingpod@gmail.com. I'm Marcy.
I'm Betsy. And don't shit your pants.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.